Before calling forward our speaker this afternoon, we'll further sing hymn number 2. Hymn number 2. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Him served with mirth, his praise forth tell. Come ye before him and rejoice. Hymn number 2. We'll now ask you then for your earnest and undivided attention to the words of our speaker, Mr. Robert Bennett, who will speak to us on that subject, Does It Matter What We Believe? Brother Robert, please.
Religion is a way of life. To millions of people the world over. They may worship in sincerity and consider their way of life to be what God desires. Yet it is only a few know the true way of life that is expected of them. The true way of life has been revealed by God through His written word, the Bible. A book which has survived many centuries and is currently with us today. Why then are there so many religions on this earth when there is only one source of information concerning the Creator of heaven and earth and all that exists? The answer to that question is also the answer to the title of our lecture. Does it matter what we believe? And the answer is a positive one. Yes, it does matter what we believe. But believe in what? Simple answer to that is believe the things that God has revealed, not man's understanding. Many today worship God based upon their own speculations, their own understanding of the things that God has promised. They fail to see the implications of their teachings. By their folly, false ideas have crept in unawares, and now many refused to accept God's written word as when it was first revealed to man. This is tantamount to rebellion. And as Jude verse 4 says, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. If you turn to Jude to begin with, that was from verse 4. There are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the type of society we live in today, in denial. In verse 5, there's a stark warning. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though he once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Now, is that not a stark warning of lack of faith, denial, ungodliness, on the society we live in today? True religion, then, is only found in the scriptures. God uses the scriptures as the means to enlighten men and women. And by it, men and women change their way of life. But into what? What is this metamorphosis that must take place? They must change their present way of life into the true way of life that God desires of them. James says, of his own will begat he us by the word of truth. And as Jesus once says, sanctify them through thy truth. Not man's truth. Not man's speculations, but God's truth. Sanctify them through God's truth. Thy word is truth. There is no other source for it. Paul the Apostle is a fine example of this change. If we go to Acts chapter 22. Verse 1, men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. He has their attention. And he saith, I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. He's now declaring the way he was converted. Paul says that he persecuted those that believed the truth. Acts 24 and verse 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Here is a complete manifestation, a metamorphosis from the way of life that he once led. Truth was revealed to him by God in the way, and now he starts a new way of life in the truth. The very truth, the very way of life he once persecuted. That is a remarkable change. But it's no more remarkable than any who have accepted the invitation to come out from among them and be separate, be baptized into the saving name, and walk in newness of life. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8. For by grace ye are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now here is a commandment, that we should walk in them, in the commandments of God, in the commandments of Christ. It is a commandment. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. The majority of this society fall into this class. They are without God. They have no hope. They are strangers from the covenants of promise. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you. What a privilege to be in the truth. He came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. But through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So what is the transformation? Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are building together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And we have hope. Hope of a better time to come. That's the difference between us and the world. All because we have faith. All because we believe in what God has revealed of himself and the covenants of promise. What has God ordained that we should walk in them? Let's go to the gospel records of Matthew chapter 28. Verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them. Now then, we need to go step back a bit. Verse 16, the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus appointed them. And when they saw him, and they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Here is a proclamation of truth. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That can only take place if you believe in the gospel message. Teaching them to observe all things, following the commandments, living them. Whatsoever I have commanded you, do. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Until what time? Until the time he comes back to this earth. We can clearly see that mankind has been taught the word of God from the beginning. So logically then, it is the duty of man to believe and obey God's word as he has revealed it. Let's go to our introductory reading. That's Hebrews chapter 11. It's remarkable how this particular chapter starts. And then it gives a whole history of faithful people that accepted the word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. You think about that. One brother gave an example to me, and has always brought it up, about the number 9 bus. You know from the timetable that it is due at 11 o'clock in the morning. You arrive at 10 to 11. You're standing there for the next hour. Why do you stand there waiting for the number 9 bus? They're supposed to turn up at 11 o'clock, and it's late by an hour. But you still wait for it, because you believe that it will finally arrive. And likewise with us, we believe that Christ will return. We are waiting for his return to the earth, because we have utmost faith in what God has revealed. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now that is a strong quotation. It's actually taken from verse 6 in Hebrews 11. Think about that. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Man has a religion based on speculation, ifs and buts. But this is the truth. This is a fact. Have faith, and it is possible to please him. But in that faith, you believe in everything that God says. You believe in the covenants of promise. You believe that he will send his son back to this earth. That's the strength of our faith. That's the strength of our conviction and our belief. We diligently seek him. So how can we secure God's approval? Again, the Apostle Paul shows us the way. And he refers to the Old Testament. He begins with creation. And in this chapter, in verse 3, he says, well, begin at verse 2. By it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Today, we have all sorts of theological rubbish thrown at us through the media, TV, the internet. Of recent, they've celebrated Charles Darwin's theory. But it's all man's speculation. Through faith, we understand that God created the heaven and the earth and all that is therein. It's simple. Why complicate it with false theories? It's all human speculation. What does nature reveal about God? Nothing. Not a bit. We see mountains, we see seas, we see trees, we see animals. Not an iota of information comes out of it to reveal God. Who created the sea? Who created the creatures? Nature does not even reveal God's purpose in the creation. But I know one who can. God can reveal it. He is the only source of this type of information. If you go to Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul reveals God's purpose to some worshippers who had no excuse regarding what God had taught them through his Son and through the prophets. In verse 15, "So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Belief and faith go hand in hand. One cannot exist without the other. And it must be in the things that God has revealed of himself and the things that he will bring to pass. Man's faith in the power of God, that he is able to save, reveals God's righteousness. Verse 18, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." What did we not read earlier in my remarks about those who disbelieve? They were destroyed from the earth. Think of what this society is going to face very shortly. Destruction. "When the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Does that not recall something about those who profess to be Christadelphians in other parts of this country and the world, who hold the truth in unrighteousness? Do they know what danger they're in? Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. But it's a warning to us too. It's a warning that we should not become embroiled with them. Step aside. We are told constantly, be ye separate. Stay away from them. Walk the other way. We believe in what God has revealed. We do not deter to the left or to the right. We walk a straight path. Because that when they knew God, they glorify Him not as God. We're coming back to man's speculation again. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies. The catalogue is long, but at the end of this darkness, this folly is destruction. God's creation, what was the purpose of His creation? It was created for His good pleasure. But man fell because the woman was duped by the subtlety of the serpent reasoning. And they both took of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which God had commanded not to eat of. That's a simple message from the way back at the beginning of the Bible. Touch not, taste not. This is the God's judgment that came upon all men. God drove Adam and his wife from the garden to protect the way of the tree of life. And from that day on, only a few respected God's commands and faithfully obeyed Him. The society that Noah faced in his day once corrupted the earth and faced a terrible judgment. Go to the book, Genesis chapter 6. You might think this is a long time past, but it is a stark warning for today. Verse 5. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we know what happened next. 8 people out of the teeming millions that were on the face of the earth then. 8 people were saved. The rest destroyed. Through lack of faith, lack of belief, through rebellion and denying the incorruptible God. This is a stark warning then for today. So, what is the answer? What is the answer? Does it matter what we believe? And the positive answer to that is yes, it does matter. So, we now know that it does matter what we believe, and especially to know God's word. Being the truth of the matter, which is to be believed. Paul says in Hebrews 11 verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what are the things hoped for? Well, here is a key. Everybody needs a key to open the door, to unlock the door. Everyone needs that key. And we have it before us. The key to understanding the Bible message. It is the theme that runs throughout the scriptures. So you have to look at every page therein. Paul has referred to it in Romans 1. Go back there. Romans chapter 1, we've already read it. Do you remember what we had read? Or does it escape you? Verse 15 is the key. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. It's interesting the way that actually is put. Because he's not just introduced Rome. He's actually introduced as many villages and towns and countries that he visited, even as far as Spain. As much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. The key to understanding the Bible is the gospel message. And what is the gospel? It is good news. Everybody loves good news. Nobody likes bad news. Everyone loves good news. And if you want to put it in a different way, glad tidings. It sort of lifts a person's spirits, doesn't it? It's like the sun that comes out in the day. It lifts your spirit. And so does good news. Eternal salvation is excellent news. Eternal salvation is bound up in having an understanding of it and believing the things promised of God. Let's turn to Mark chapter 16. Verse 14, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. We talk about faithful men here, the disciples. And he said unto them, now there seems to be a word missing here, but I want you to read into it. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned, condemned. What word is missing? He had already upbraided them with their unbelief. He had already remonstrated them with their unbelief. So he's now telling them to believe and go forth and preach the gospel. Go forth with that faith, with that conviction, with that belief, and preach the gospel. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be cursed. For do I now persuade men, O God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ, because that is the truth. Forget about all the theological rubbish that's out there. There is only one truth, as there is only one gospel. If an inspired apostle was not exempt from such a curse, can you imagine any others that can? Certainly Christendom, by and large, has strayed from the true teachings of the gospel, and the curse now rests upon them. The gospel speaks of the future and reveals to those that have ears to hear and eyes to see God's purpose with the earth and man upon it. Does Christendom teach that the Jewish hope is man's hope of salvation? Go to John chapter 4. Verse 22. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. There's no mention of Gentiles. It's only of the Jews. How simple can it get? So why do they teach fallacy and lies? That the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And where are we going to get the truth from? From the Scriptures? From the word that he has left on record for us to see and learn and understand and believe. It's simple enough. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 8. Seven simple words. Probably familiar with them. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, the nations, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. It's part of the covenants of promise. It epitomizes the whole purpose of God and is the basic message of the Bible. Now there's comparison to be made with these seven words. We've already been there, but it's worth a visit again. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We see it exemplified in Abraham. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations. Not any foundations, not certainly one that was made by hands by man. No, the city he wants is foundations whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Faith in God. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar, went off. That comes of faith. Faith in the knowledge that God will keep his promises. They all died in faith. They were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But no. Now, verse 16, they desire a better country. That is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And that city is to all those who believe in God, have faith in everything he says, and follow that true way of life that he has ordained. That is a promise we have hope in. Does Christendom teach that mankind dies and goes into the grave? Do they? Psalm 49. Verse 6. They that trust in wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he that seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their sayings. Selah. Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. That is the majority of today's society. It affects us all. But there is a privileged people amongst these. Though they have fallen asleep in death, they have a particular hope. What is that hope? That God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. And that is the hope of a resurrection. That is what we hope for. Because we must be alive. God is not ready to condemn us. If we have believed in him, have faith in everything he says, obeyed his commandments to the full, filled our lives with the gospel message, and lived it accordingly, it would be a cruel thing to leave us in the grave. God will redeem my soul from the grave. And that is our hope. That is our belief. That was what is in Abram's heart, and Sarah's heart, and Abel's heart, and David's heart, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you can name them all. From Hebrews 11. They all died in faith. No, Christendom teaches that man dies and the inner man flies off to heaven. Yet Scripture expressly states in Acts that man has not ascended into heaven. Does Christendom teach that Jesus is the Son of God and the son of a woman? In Romans 8, verse 3, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous, who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved before Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. It's almost revealing the time of Noah. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God, except for 8 people. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Are we not talking about the days of Noah? And certainly describing today's society. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The wages of sin is death. Simple words. Strong words. Strong words of warning not to become entangled with this world and their evil ways. Christendom is full of lies because they teach fallacies, nothing connected with the scriptures at all. The gospel message was taught by Jesus, the kingdom of heaven, the gospel of the kingdom. What are they? They're the same. The gospel kingdom from heaven to the earth. Jesus spoke the gospel message, revealed it unto his contemporaries. They didn't want it. They put him to death. Except for a certain few. Matthew 5 verse 3. He says that the poor in spirit will be in the kingdom of heaven. And verse 5 clearly identifies the venue of the kingdom of God. They shall inherit not heaven, they shall inherit the earth. That is a prize indeed. That is a great and wonderful prize. So the answer, what is the gospel, can be found in what Jesus commanded his disciples to preach. Acts chapter 8. Verse 1, Saul was consenting unto his death, And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, the ecclesia, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and haling men and women committed to prison. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. For there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed. The Pope, Catholicism, many give heed to him, all believing in lies, deluded. Something like this Simon the sorcerer, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God, and he sits on that papal throne doing exactly the same thing. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. These are the people that saw the truth for what it was, believed it, had faith in it, and lived it. What was Philip preaching? The things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. What was he preaching? Verse 25. And then, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel. That's it in a nutshell. The things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ is what Philip was preaching. The gospel. In many villages of the Samaritans. We, the Berean Christadelphians, appeal to your common sense to believe what is written in the Bible and accept it as God's word. Accept. First, we're going to the last quotation, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Accept God's word. The whole chapter here in Timothy chapter 4 is a warning to all who neglect the word of God. Verse 9. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. What an honor, a privilege, a calling. Because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. What an identity. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, or way of life, in charity, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity, until I come. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate. Think upon these things. Meditate upon them. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. It's a task indeed. It is a trial for many. But he's still saying, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. What a great responsibility is on those that preach the gospel. And remember, only by faith can we please God.